Even though my kids are distance learning this school year, it feels like I'm driving them around far more than I ever have. That's why I'm glad I'm in my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, the most comfortable vehicle I've ever driven, all the bells and whistles, and the safety I depend on. Whether I'm running to a soccer game or loading my bikes in for some weekend fun, the Sienna is the perfect vehicle for my family. Check one out yourself at RudyLutherToyota.com or test drive one today to see what I mean. Head over to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt and Patrick here today. Patrick, where you live, do you think you're going to have a lot of trick-or-treaters? Would you have one in normal years?
I do not, because I live in the country down a long, long driveway in the woods.
Do you? Is there like, how close is your nearest neighbor?
Oh, I can see them through the trees, but, you know, I can play my music loudly without worrying about bothering them.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's nice. You're definitely not going to have to worry too much about it. Do you have any candy whatsoever, or like someone showed up at your door, would you get them like a can of Spam or something like that?
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
could end out the Spam for coming down here.
It's a Halloween miracle. I'm anticipating. Now, we usually have 100 or so kids. I'm anticipating it being lighter. We still really have no idea how we're going to hand out candy. We still have no idea. I mean, you could put the tube out there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of people have been talking about this. It's, you go get like a carpet tube over at like Home Depot or something like that. You cut it to length and then you kind of set it up on a, like some sawhorses, and you can shoot candy down into their buckets, and there you go. Candy achieved. But, you know, I just have zero doubt, A, that it's going to, you know, I'm going to have candy all over my front yard is one thing. And then as well, I already know this kid's, I don't want it down the tube. You just give it to me. I'm okay. So I can already see the problems coming down, the cab coming down the street with its doors wide open. I also can already anticipate, we always have this. We have the people that come through at like 9, 10 at night. Just hoping that, you know, hey, we'll take every bit of candy you got. And I wonder if they're probably going to – I can already see that they're probably going to make out pretty good. They'll probably make out pretty good because I just can't see a normal Halloween. I already know a few of my neighbors who have said, no, we're just going to have fun activities at our house. I, with my neighbor's kids, the young kids, I buy them the full-size candy bars because, I mean, I remember as a kid going trick-or-treating. And the house that had full-size candy bars. And it was just – you remember that. That was just so great. And so I've always done that with my neighbor's kids. And so I have to figure out how to drop them off, how to, I guess, sanitize a candy bar. I got to figure out how to do that as well. But you're more than welcome to tell me how you think this is going to be a good idea, handing out candy on Halloween night. I would love to hear it, 952-946-6205. We'll take some calls here in a little bit on that. But right now – Pat Kreitlow is the managing editor of Up North News, new digital news site covering Wisconsin politics, other headlines around the state. He's from St. Paul, from Apple Valley High School, indeed, and a longtime evening news anchor on Channel 13 in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. He's kind enough today to join us. We haven't talked a lot about Wisconsin. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Wisconsin. Pat, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much. Good to be on the air out there in the Twin Cities.
Well, it's good to have you on the air. And by all means, I'm glad you know the area, so it's going to be – I'm glad we're going to get your insight on this. So I do have to admit I'm a little confused about Wisconsin. Politico just had a poll out. I think it was a 5-point lead. But the ABC Washington Post poll that came on out, which is a pretty good poll, they say it's 17 points for Biden. Biden leads in both polls there. From what you're seeing, what do you really think is the lead right now if Biden does have the lead in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, sometimes a poll just – you just reach a certain set of people, and not every one of them can be a winner. And that ABC one, you know, not to say they shouldn't do it, but I think if they ran the same poll again and called another 800 people or whatever it was, they would get something more in line with what we see. The main poll that gets followed here – is done by the Marquette University Law School. Mm-hmm. And the thing that is so telling about their poll is for Trump's entire term, his approval rating has been somewhere between 42 and 48%. And all year, Joe Biden's lead on him has been 3, 4, 5, then 4, then 5, then 3. And so yesterday's latest poll came out, and it was 5. Now, that's still just barely beyond the margin of error, but the fact that he's kept this 5-point lead, poll after poll after poll, tells you that Trump does have a now well-defined obstacle to get over if he's going to pull off another surprise like he did 4 years ago.
I've read another story that said that the base of Trump's support in Wisconsin is rural Wisconsin voters. The dairy market has been wiped out in the last few years. And it's not this has been a downhill slide that's been before Trump, but even it was, you know, made especially more prominent during Trump's, you know, disastrous trade fiasco. You also have the pandemic, which there have been some terrifying numbers of amount of daily cases and the death count coming out of Wisconsin lately. Has that turned rural white voters at all, or are they still as loyal as you see his fan base showing up on TV right now?
I would say not only as loyal, but for every time somebody tells me that there's going to be this wave of people voting for the very first time because they're so sick of what they've seen with Donald Trump, I tell them there are people out here. I'm in Chippewa County. There are plenty of people here who are going to vote for the first time because they finally see in Donald Trump somebody that they admire for whatever reason that might be. Mm-hmm. And even in, you know, across Wisconsin agriculture, there are plenty of people that will say that, you know, Trump is just doing what needed to be done to, you know, stand up to China. And of course, the virus is the China virus. And there's just too much of a willingness to buy into the rhetoric of blame the outsider rather than look toward the complete lack of leadership that we've had over these past couple of years, you know, through this administration.
Is that even – does that carry over? I mean, the dairy crisis, the dairy farm crisis in Wisconsin is just heartbreaking. It reminds me a lot of the farming crisis in the 1980s. You know, is it even those farmers, you know, hey, I've lost my dairy farm, but still I'd rather have Trump in office?
Well, to a degree, yes. But you also have to remember that, you know, and I've been living here now since I went to UW-Eau Claire, you know, 30-some years ago. And, you know, what you don't have the same, you know, Norman Rockwell type setup here. There are very, you know, I'm married to a farm girl from near Green Bay. Every morning and every afternoon, they milk 72 cows. You just don't have that. It's a novelty now. Mm-hmm. If you know, unless you have 200, 500, or you're a mega farm. And if you're a mega farm, you're not looking to, you know, some romantic notion of government policy. What we have here instead is corporate farming that wants to bend environmental regulations, which are going to put our water at risk. So the entire farm industry, I mean, you can really underline industry now, and you can see why. So many farm operators are gravitating toward, you know, a Trump and a Republican Party that would be more hostile to the regulations that family farms used to embrace so that their neighboring farm wouldn't pollute their water.
You've mentioned a little bit about why Trump is resonating in rural Wisconsin. I would like to find out, I mean, there are Biden supporters out there. As a matter of fact, I'm interested to find out two things. One, are you seeing like they're seeing down in Iowa, where a friend of mine pointed out, they said, I'm seeing guys go out and get a piece of plywood and paint Biden on it and put it out. It's not a, you know, a political sign, but their own homemade sign, which that's a, you know, as he said, that's a little telling. I mean, those are people that are kind of fed up. You can tell that they're fed up. You know, are you seeing that? And what issues are resonating with the Biden voters that you're talking to in Wisconsin?
Sure. Well, I will do, again, not to be the voice of doom and gloom, but the first thing I will say is remind people, take nothing for granted, because we're seeing people across rural Wisconsin. I shouldn't use the phrase cult of personality, but they've never flown a flag besides the American flag, a flag that had somebody's name on it. And now there's Trump flags, you know, across the area. So no complacency is allowed on the part of Biden supporters. However, they are out there. I've talked to people involved in political organizing here, and they are getting more first-time volunteers than ever. frankly, they're embracing this new method of organizing volunteers where it's done digitally through Zoom and everything else. You're finding a whole new generation, really, of people that are willing to spread the word about why they support Biden or, you know, Democrats for legislative races.
Pat Kreitlau is joining us right now. He's the managing editor of Up North News. Pat, of course, let's talk a little bit about the counties that are, you know, bordering part of the Twin Cities metro area. You know, obviously, are you seeing – I know it doesn't take long. You go into Wisconsin and it becomes much redder. But Hudson and areas that are hugging that river, are there more blue there? Has it been changing more and more?
Oh, yeah, it is definitely changing. On our site, which is upnorthnewswi.com, we pick apart another well-known suburban county down near Milwaukee, Ozaukee County, and look at the trends as to why it is not the deep red, you know, safe Republican territory that it used to be. Now, Joe Biden will still probably, if he gets 40%, that will be a major victory in Ozaukee County. And I know there's a certain magic number for St. Croix County as well. It's not that he's going to win the county. But right now, this is a statewide contest. You want to win Wisconsin. So along with getting those votes in Madison and Eau Claire and Milwaukee and elsewhere, you've got to pick up voters in the suburbs in order to win the state's electoral votes. And those inroads are definitely being made. St. Croix County is not as deep red as it was when, and this is my claim to fame, when I was almost single-handedly responsible for moving St. Croix County from western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District into the northern Wisconsin 7th Congressional District. It happened right after I declared that I was going to be running against Sean Duffy for the congressional seat in 2012, and practically days later, they rewrote the map, the Republicans did, and moved St. Croix County into my district, knowing how Republican it was. So that, while that was bad news for me back in 2012, all these years later, those inroads continue to be made to the point where, you know, the 7th district may someday again be represented by a Democrat, as it was with Dave Obey for the 42 years prior to Sean Duffy.
When you look at Wisconsin, of course, that Supreme Court ruling came on down about the votes can't be counted after Election Day, you know, and how that's going. How has early voting been going in Wisconsin?
Enthusiastic would be, you know, an understatement. We are well over 1.6 million votes cast. The early in-person voting has taken off. Part of that is the Democratic Party infrastructure in Wisconsin. There's a new state party chair, Ben Wickler, who has truly embraced digital organizing, getting the word out about, you know, the various rules, get your ballot turned in this way, you know, do this. He and his team have also put together, I'm sure folks have heard about, all kinds of cast reunions that were done for the benefit of the party.
Yeah.
There was recently the Happy Days reunion. They're doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Halloween. Princess Bride kicked it all off. And all of these folks are seeing, you know, the possibility to take Wisconsin back in a way that, you know, 4 years ago, people thought it as just your quintessential purple but just blue enough state. And obviously we found out that if you don't motivate people to go vote, they don't. And because many thousands of Wisconsinites didn't vote 4 years ago, Trump was able to sneak out a victory.
Do you have there been any implications or inclinations on how that vote, that 1.6 million early votes, how they've broken?
No, because Wisconsin is one of those few states that does not register voters by party, which if you're involved in either party, it means your voter list is even, you know, that much tougher to maintain. So while we don't know exactly how it breaks down, we certainly look at the geography and, you know, put your typical voting patterns there. You certainly see, you know, big votes turning out in, you know, in Madison, Milwaukee, et cetera, less so in the rural counties, which are more Republican. But that only serves to remind us that we face the possibility of what, you know, other people have coined the term a red mirage, where, you know, if you look just at the in-person voting on November 3rd, it's going to seem awfully heavy to the Republican side. Because right now, if you ask people, you know, whether they have already voted, the Marquette poll from yesterday said that 41% had already voted. But that the number of Republicans who'd vote, who had already early voted, was really small. So they're going to turn out on the 3rd, and then it really depends on every community is different with absentee votes. Some will start filing them into the machines at 7 a.m. Others won't do it until 8 p.m. when the polls close and start feeding the ballots in. So, you know, we're faced with what could be kind of a long night before we get a final number.
I'm just going to do some basic math here from what you just said. 1.6 million votes cast. Now, in Minnesota, at one point, the early vote lead was 79% people voted for Biden on the early votes to 21% for Trump, which is insane. I'm not going to make it that number, but if you just do 60%, if 60% of those votes are Democrat, that means 960,000, almost a million of the 1.6 have been there. What is Wisconsin's turnout rates for the election? Because it would seem to me the Republicans, if that's true, the Republicans have a massive hill to climb already. And, you know, where they need to have a 65, you know, 2 million more people show up to vote and 65, you know, percent of them vote, you know, voting in favor of Trump over Biden.
Right. And you have had, again, in recent polling, a very high level expressed of proposed turnout. And it's part a story of, you know, voter engagement this time around. But to me, it's always a story as well of the amount of voters who either unplugged last time around, 2016, for various reasons. I've often contended that, a big reason people didn't turn out was simple complacency. There was this, you know, everybody, Donald Trump included, thought Hillary was going to win. And far too many people said, well, I'm not going to bother standing in line. Well, now you see what happened in Wisconsin in April with that first pandemic election and people waiting in lines for hours and hours to vote. That sent a message to folks that voting really matters. Your vote matters. If these people are willing to risk their health to make their vote count, then I should go through that as well. And that's why so many people have embraced early voting of one type or another.
You know, I kind of agree with you here. And the one thing I keep thinking in the back of my mind is I think anyone who is going to vote for Trump back in 2016 voted for Trump. I don't know many people he got 63 million votes nationally last time. I think he's going to get 63 million again. And the question here is the 110 million people that did not vote last election, if they show up to vote, and if even just 20% of those people show up to vote, this will be an overwhelming victory for the Democrats. Is the House, the Assembly and the Senate, is there any chance at all that the Democrats could take those seats, or are they still so gerrymandered there's no way?
They are, again, in that same 2011 gerrymander. You had the instance in 2018 when Tony Evers unseated Scott Walker. That's a statewide vote. You know, he got just over 50% of the vote. The total of all the legislative candidates, if you take them all together, the Democratic candidates got just over 50% of the vote. And yet, out of our 99 state assembly members, 63 of them are Republicans, which tells you how diabolical those maps were and why this election is so important, because whoever controls the legislature, will have a say in the map drawing. Well, again, because of the gerrymander, the odds are pretty slim that Democrats will take control. However, if Republicans were having a good year, they only need 3 seats in the Assembly, and they only need to pick up 3 seats in the Senate, and they would have a veto-proof majority, and they could – Governor Evers' veto of a new set of maps would mean nothing to them. So that's why you see the state party here fighting tooth and nail for every last seat that they think they can, you know, overcome the gerrymander – including that 10th Senate district, you know, in northwest Wisconsin, where Patty Schachner is running. You know, she won that in a special election 2 years ago, first Democrat to hold that seat in a long, long time. Now it's a tough row to hoe for her to hold it. But, I mean, they are pouring the kitchen sink into it to try to make sure that every last Democrat in the 10th Senate district, in Hudson and New Richmond and River Falls, you know, who wants to get out and support Patty will get out and do it.
Supreme Court as well. Isn't there one seat up for grabs on the Supreme Court?
No, we had one earlier this year. Really? And interestingly enough, the progressive candidate won fairly overwhelmingly, surprisingly so. And so that is, again, what gave people hope that with the digital organizing that was being done by progressives in that spring election, that would translate into success this time around.
When is the next Supreme Court race up in Wisconsin?
We actually have a couple of years off now. We've had a cycle of them, and now there's I think we have 2 years off before we see the next batch of seats come up, which makes losing that seat in 2019 especially heartbreaking. Where again we thought the progressive candidate was going to win that one. But the conservative Hagedorn ended up winning, and so there will be a 4-3 conservative majority for some time to come. Although Hagedorn, for being as conservative as he is, has surprised us on a couple of decisions. So if we've learned nothing about Supreme Courts, over generations, it's that, always leave a little room to sometimes be surprised.
Pat, if people want to get up and find out more about Up North News, what's the website for them?
Our website is upnorthnewswi.com, or on your favorite social media feed, search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI in there. There's a lot of entities that love to call themselves Up North, but we figured America's looking up north for news about this election. And so if people go there, they can read the stories that our reporters put out every day. We do two newsletters a day. The morning one always opens up with an editorial from me. And we're really filling a niche that people knew existed in the media landscape here, where we don't have to be the Breitbart of the left or the Fox News of the left. We just have to present solid news that actually has some candor and actually, calls things like they see it, rather than being afraid of consultants or advertisers or whatever the case may be. I think we're kind of a breath of fresh air for a lot of folks, and we're glad that we continue growing here.
And you're in Minneapolis, St. Paul. You want Wisconsin news, because let's just be honest here. The news in this city does not cover Wisconsin nearly as well as it should, considering it's part of the metro area, for God's sakes. UpNorthNewsWI.com, UpNorthNewsWI.com. I'll link to that. Pat Kreitlow is the managing editor. Pat, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time. Come back anytime, my friend.
My pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Take care. Pat Kreitlow, once again, managing editor, UpNorthNewsWI.com. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It's interesting, and by the way, I don't know, who has worse gerrymandered districts, Wisconsin or Texas? Oh, my God. Ohio is pretty bad, too. I mean, and they went through surgically to basically just kind of diffuse any Democratic areas in the state and loop them in with as many Republicans as possible to hold those seats. Yeah, I mean, they have, even though 50% of the state votes Democrat, they have only a third of the seats in the assembly because the Republicans have fixed the game. And so it's, it's in Wisconsin. You got to get out and vote. I will say there was this story yesterday. The Trump administration has come forward and went to the police union trying to find union retirees, police union retirees, to go in and basically, they want people there to voter intimidate. You can't be – okay, if you are – I'm going to talk about poll challengers here. They're allowed at a contesting voter's eligibility if and only if they have personal knowledge of that voter's ineligibility. So as a poll challenger – They really can't be there because, there's no point in them being there, because I can guarantee you these retired police officers are not going to have definitive proof that one person is, eligible to vote or not. They're just not. They are allowed to be at polling placers, but poll watchers are not. So a poll challenger can be there, and there can only be one poll challenger per political party. The poll watchers are not allowed to be there. And it sounds like what the Trump administration is trying to get a bunch of poll watchers in former retired cops. The only qualifications for a poll challenger, once again, poll challengers are legal. They have to live in the state. They are registered to vote, but only one challenger is permitted on behalf of each political party per precinct. So basically, you can't have five retired cops sitting in one polling place, looking to intimidate. Law enforcement officers also cannot be stationed near polling places unless they're called by election workers for help. So once again, you can't have these guys can't come in uniform and do a poll watcher. They can't do that. That's illegal in the state of Minnesota. They can't be in uniform and be a poll challenger. But if they are a poll challenger, they have to know definitively that you are ineligible to vote. Because if they try to stop you and you're eligible to vote, well, then that they're wrong. So the reality is this is okay. I got a lot to get to and unpack on this, and I'll get into a lot of it in the next segment. But what I'm going to say is that clearly we know what the path of action is for the Republicans. They're going to try to stop any votes that come in any state after Election Day from being counted. Then what they're going to try to do is send people into heavy Democratic areas to try to scare Democratic voters away while encouraging as many in-person votes in rural districts as possible. But you want to know the truth is, you know, I'm sorry. So let's just say, let's just hypothetical here for a second. Let's say a retired police officer goes in, shows up, says, I'm a poll challenger, but is wearing a uniform and starts harassing people in line. Well, what the poll people, the poll workers would do would be to call, not those poll workers, but the election workers, how about I say, that, what the election workers are going to do is they're going to call the cops. Now, I want to ask you a straightforward question. If I am considering the police union head, Bob Kroll, is the person behind the pseudo partly behind the pseudo recruitment for the Trump campaign to get poll. Once again, if it's poll watchers, they're illegal. So they can't be poll watchers. They have to be poll challengers. So if he is behind this recruitment and all of a sudden one of his poll challengers starts breaking the law, is anyone think that the Minneapolis police are going to rush there to stop it? No, I don't think they are. I think the Minneapolis police would be chuckling outside going, sucks to be you. And that's why I'm officially going to ask right now, Governor Walz, can you please activate the National Guard on Election Day? Not to be poll watchers, not to hang about polling places, but if the Minneapolis police retirees get out of line, since we really can't trust the Minneapolis police to go in there and police these people, can you get the National Guard out there, call them in, have them drag that retiree out of the poll station, and we can get back to business? Could you do that? Like I said, I'm not asking for the National Guard or soldiers to be stationed in any poll places, but since I don't trust the Minneapolis police to police their own retirees if they start getting out of line at polling stations, I think it would be a good idea for the Minnesota National Guard that if we had a problem, well, we'll just send the National Guard troops in and get them dragged out. Drag that guy out by his ankles and let people vote in peace. Can we please do that? Because right now, I have a feeling the Minneapolis police, they don't seem to be too eager to make sure the people of Minneapolis can vote. And that's what it seems to me, at least. And I'm a little concerned about how many people are going to be able to vote. So, Governor Walz, we might need your help policing the retirees. We might. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Coming back, I want to talk a little bit more about what the full game plan is and what we need to do to make sure that every vote gets counted. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I lay out all my reasons. You say that I need help. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks very much to Todd Colledge, sponsoring AM 950, buying ads on the station. He lives in Spain, can't visit our advertisers, so he buys ads. We really appreciate that. 952-946-8885 for more information about that. Todd wants to remind everyone, you can still early vote, so go to mnvotes.org. If you want to vote on Election Day, you can find out where your polling place is, even see what your ballot will look like. Go to mnvotes.org for more information about that. I also will mention that he has been a champion of the website, which has been showing the U.S. Elections Project, which is showing the amount of early votes. Now, Minnesota's vote total has been kind of stalled at 11.8 for a while. I haven't seen any more come in. That's been since, I think, the 23rd, so almost a week. But nationally, we have already had 80,721,000 people vote. 80 million people vote. In-person votes are 28,321,806. Guilty as charged. Mail-in ballots returned 52,400,052. So, well done. There are still, by the way, mail-ballots outstanding, 37 million that are outstanding right now, which, if you think about that, that would get us to 107 million votes already cast. And it should be reminded, 107 million votes. If those 37 million votes get in, if we're at 107 million votes, the total vote combined for Clinton and Trump was 128? 128. I mean, let's just put it this way. If that 37 million votes gets in, then I don't see how there's any way in the world, considering that the early votes have been overwhelmingly favoring the Democrats. You know, in some states heavier than others, but still overwhelming, that it has been favoring the Democrats. I don't see how the Republicans overcome that. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. I'll tell you what. I'll get to this in a second. Let's get the calls done here first. Gary is in Minneapolis. Gary, welcome onto the show. Thanks for calling.
Good to be talking to you, Matt. See, I was going to say, for those that haven't called me, they can vote early at the Hammond County Government Center, and people live in Minneapolis can vote on East Hennepin, 980 East Hennepin. There's parking there, too, and also you can vote in the car if you're handicapped or maybe real elderly or something, and make sure they vote straight down the ticket so we get some of these state senate and stuff we need badly. You know, the Koch brothers, they have a strategy, millions of dollars into when you state legislatures for that redistricting gerrymandering. But, Matt, I heard a rumor.
What?
Are you closely related to Tip O'Neill?
Tip O'Neill?
Yeah.
No, I'm not related to Tip O'Neill. O'Neill would be Irish. I'm Scottish with the McNeils. There is a great photo. When my parents lived in Rhode Island, they had the opportunity to meet Tip O'Neill, and I got a picture of Tip O'Neill sitting next to my mother at an event out there, and apparently he was hitting on my mom. So,
did you know that Tip O'Neill wrote a great book, Man of the House, years ago? You can't even buy it anymore. In that book, he was such an Irish storyteller. He told one story how he was really dumbfounded and upset when John Kennedy ran for president. Tip O'Neill was saying he can't pay when he stood there at election time, and Jacqueline came up and says, John, I voted for you, and then I left. Nobody else. And Tip was so upset about, you know, and a lot of people do that.
All right. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. See if you can find the Tip O'Neill book. All right. Vern is in White Bear. Welcome on in, Vern. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Matt. Three things real quick. You can see where the white boys' power in the police department is when this guy got demoted over that comment about the white boys.
Oh, yeah. And Vern, if I can put in there, he got demoted almost instantaneously. It took them 18 months to punish the people behind the racist Christmas tree. Right. That's all you need to see about the Minneapolis Police Department.
Right, right. And then the other point I was going to make here was I found in the paper today that, Tom Helfelfinger, attorney, joins the GOP Trump foes. And it's like, oh, boy, that took a lot of balls here. How many days before the election? He finally says, he thinks Biden might be the better candidate here. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing was Trump actually said his last super spreader event that, Biden will probably be assassinated in a few days. It's a plot to have Kamala Harris take over as president. It's like that's what he's out there.
Well, and Vern, so first of all, got to be careful with the language, Vern. Second of all, what he'd said was at the rally was within a few weeks of Biden taking office, he would be assassinated. And the argument was just so Kamala Harris will become there. Why are you listening to Trump? I wouldn't be listening to him. He's an idiot. So I want to – what Gary was saying, early voting locations. This is courtesy of Speaker Melissa Hortman in Minneapolis and in St. Paul. Early voting locations, the Urban League of the Twin Cities, 2100 Plymouth Avenue North, Minneapolis Election and Voter Services, 980 Hennepin Avenue East, Hennepin County Elections, that's 306 Street South, and the Longfellow Park Recreation Center, 3435 36th Avenue South. In St. Paul, the Frogtown Community Center, 230 Como Avenue, the first tee of Twin Cities, 1403 Montreal Avenue. This is Arlington Hills Community Center, 1200 Payne Avenue in Ramsey County, the Auditor's Office, 900 Plato Boulevard West. Those are the vote early in-person places. The drop-off ballots, there's tons of dropped-off ballot areas. The Victory Memorial, Ice Arena parking lot, the Twin Cities Urban League, Hennepin County Elections, Firefighters Hall and Museum parking lot, Minneapolis Election and Voter Services, Minneapolis Convention Center, Kmart parking lot, Longfellow Park Recreation Center, St. Mary's Greek Orthodox Church parking lot, Bethel Lutheran Church parking lot, Boston Field, is it Boston Field Park parking lot, Mount Olivet Lutheran Church parking lot in the St. Paul side, Allianz Field, Brew Hall, the First Tee in the Twin Cities, Rondo Community Library, Rice Street Public Library, Frogtown Community Center, Arlington Hills Community Center, Sunray Public Center, Ramsey County Government Center East, and Ramsey County Elections offices. Edina, public and parochial, Richfield public and parochial. Sounded a little like the old good neighbor snow flurries reports. But there you go. There's your drop off ballot plots. Why is it important that you drop off your ballot? It's been signaled by the Republican majority of the Supreme Court that they are going to rule, and they're basically telling Republicans, sue, we're going to fine for you. Initially, Kavanaugh said that he believed that the states have no right to regulate a federal election. The three other Supreme Court justices, Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch, have also now come on out and said, please, we feel as if any ballot accepted after Election Day should not count. So please, sue again. We'll get all those ballots thrown out. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to do it because Amy Barrett is going to jump on in there and say, yep, they are going to throw out millions of votes. They are. They absolutely are. Now, mind you, a lot of votes that they're going to throw out are from the men and women who serve in our armed forces and their family members who live with them on a base somewhere around the world. A lot of them use mail-in ballots. And when I was in the military, that was the rule that said as long as it was postmarked by the day, then it counted. So I want to make sure we understand for your Republican friends who are going to applaud this, what they're saying is that the active duty military, their votes no longer should be counted. They shouldn't be counted because that's a good chunk of the votes that are about to get thrown into a waste paper basket and lit on fire by Republicans. They're going to do this. This is going to happen. This is why your drop-off locations now are your priority, or voting in person. And I went to the Hopkins City Hall. I was able to vote at Hopkins City Hall in person with an absentee ballot that got dropped into a ballot box well before the election. You can still do that. If you don't want to do that, if you just say, okay, I'll just go vote on Election Day, by all means, everyone should vote, and do not allow potential of Minneapolis police retirees trying to intimidate you at the polling locations to stop you. This is not a call to one individual, one political party, one ideology. This is us as a country saying we need our voices heard. And it does not matter what your background is. It doesn't matter. In this election, it doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your religion. It doesn't matter who you are. It just matters that we vote. Because if we do not vote and Trump wins again, this country will not survive another 4 years of this. Heck, it's been so bad, there's a legitimate question on whether it will survive still this 4 years. I liked the what Pat Kreitlow said in the first interview was about the Red Mirage. There is this tendency by the media to make it look like that the Republican base is much larger than it is. That's why that whole rally down in Oklahoma City a few months back was a real eye-opener, is that they really didn't have that many people there. He's doing these small events through a few thousand people, in many cases a lot of the same people that are driving state to state to state, to see him like it's kind of weird Grateful Dead stuff. They will do everything in their power to stop you from voting. Now, I do not believe, I know Trump is trying to say that, well, once it strikes midnight, no vote can be counted in that state. I know that's what he's going to try to say, but I don't even think, I mean, heck, Alito will definitely go along with that, but I don't think any of the other eight, even Thomas, I think that would be too extreme for him to literally stop votes that people that walked into an election, you know, into a polling place on election day and voted that vote shouldn't count. I don't even think Thomas would go that extreme. Alito will, but Thomas won't. And so they're going to stop any vote that comes in after election day. So from here on out, you really can't mail that ballot. The post office, for God's sakes, he's using his own post office to slow things down. So you need to either drop off that ballot in person, go vote in person with an absentee ballot, or vote on election day. The stakes, the reason why they're trying to change the rules, they're trying to move the goalposts, they're trying to change the game as we play it, is they know they're going to lose. So the one thing that we can't do is stop right now. Call everyone you know. Call your family. Call your friends. Call your neighbors. Call your coworkers. Any acquaintance you know. And get them to vote. And may God have mercy on us, because I swear to God, I don't know what else we can do. But they'll try to figure out some way to negate our votes. And we just got to fight back. If this is an overwhelming, absolute caboose kicking of Donald Trump, then they won't sue. If the vote spread in a state of Minnesota is so much for Biden over Trump that even all mail-in ballots won't matter, they won't try to stop it. But it's got to be that kind of level of just absolute annihilation when it comes to who wins and what the vote totals are. So vote. We're not done yet. No one's won squat yet. No one's won squat. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Minnesota coronavirus update and music. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Imagine for a AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 32 COVID-19 deaths reported in Minnesota health authorities on Thursday, along with a record 2,872 lab-confirmed infections and other worsening statistical indicators in the pandemic. Rising case counts released on Thursday flipped six more counties into the category in which all online early will be recommended at local schools. 25 mostly rural counties now have high enough infection levels for that recommendation, while 37 of the state's 87 counties have levels that recommend all online classes in middle and high school and hybrid institutions at elementary schools. Anoka, Ramsey, and Washington counties fall into the latter advisory category. The Minnesota Department of Health is now reporting 2,419 COVID deaths in the pandemic, 442,311 confirmed probable infections as well in the state of Minnesota. The single-day high of 847 beds in Minnesota hospitals were filled with COVID-19 patients, according to Thursday's updated state pandemic response dashboard. That's an increase from the 865 reported on Wednesday and includes 173 patients in intensive care due to breathing problems or other complications from their infections. The state's hospitals still have capacity, though, reporting only that 1,120 of 1,521 immediately available ICU beds were filled. So that's some good news there. The state's county-level COVID numbers are consistent with the latest White House status updates showing the pandemic is pressing into rural areas of Minnesota. The federal report listed 12 counties of Minnesota as red zone during the current rates of more than 100 new infections per 100,000 people per week. Those counties, Clay, Candiyohi, Chisago, Morrison, Beltrami, Todd, Hubbard, Nobles, Cass, Roseau, Murray, and Clearwater. Hey, you know what? I see a trend there. Yeah, it's all Republican territory where masks are a myth. I'm tired of the stupids. Minnesota ranked 20th in the nation for its rate of new infections, according to the latest federal update, while the Dakotas and the nation highest rates, and Wisconsin ranked 4th. Yep. Yep. And you idiots are still going to vote for him. I already know it. He's the guy making everybody sick. I think he needs another 4 years. Burning cities. Yeah, she's doing great. Stock market in free fall half the time. Great. I don't know what to do. Patrick, I don't know what to do. There you go. Thank you. Stereo MCs connected. This will take us out today. We are back on a Friday. Have a good one. Till Friday. Until tomorrow. See ya, please. There you go. Woohoo. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna do it again.